Good morning to everyone. It's great to see everyone out. Good to see the doctor from Tyler here in your family. Good to have you with us, buddy. It's a good day. We're glad to have everyone here. My assignment this morning, or this month, for this morning, is the fourth chapter of Hebrews, verses 14 through 16. The Bible says, beginning in verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold forth our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is three of the most important verses in the Bible right here. And I believe when I begin to study this, I begin to realize the great importance that this has to us. When this writer of Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, was writing these words, he was writing to a bunch of new Christians in the city of Jerusalem. These were people that had veered away from the Old Testament, the Old Mosaic, and they had accepted this new upstart, Jesus Christ. They were in a brand spanking new religion that was totally and completely different from everything else. And they were a very, very small minority of people in the city of Jerusalem. The writer of Hebrews, as he writes to these new Christians that are being tempted to give up their faith, to give up on God, and to quit this new religion that they had embarked upon, he's trying to exhort them not to do it. And there were some serious difficulties here. These people were bucking the old law of Moses with the new law. Their neighbors were still under the Mosaic law. They still had their ancestry. They were sons and daughters of Abraham. And now they were in something brand new. And it was a very trying and a very serious and a very deadly time for these people, because everyone was against them. So the teacher here is reminding them of the people of Israel, their forefathers, so many years ago, that had departed from the land of Egypt, and that of all this entire group, whether it be thousands or millions of people, only two people over the age of 40, over the age of 20, were allowed into the land of rest that God had promised them in Canaan. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He said, your forefathers gave up the belief. They didn't believe. They didn't do what they were supposed to, but they were not allowed into the promised land. He said, don't make the same mistake. There is a rest, a Sabbath rest. It's referred to in Hebrews 9. And this is a rest that is promised to all of those that are obedient to God. But when you're in the isolation that these people were in with their new faith, it was something that was very, very hard. So this exhortation went out to these people, don't quit. Don't stop. Don't let this unbelief, don't let trials and temptations, the problems that you're encountering, don't let these things take your rest away from you. Many of us in this building have grown up in the pews of the church. We've heard a lot of lessons, and others have also heard the lessons, and they say, the preacher will stand up and he said, well, the Bible says that you need to stop sinning and you need to try harder to be good. And I've heard that all my life. Stop sinning, try harder. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. We know that. It says that the Scriptures teach us that we are to stop sinning and to do better. Ephesians 4 and 28. He who steals, let him steal no more. Let him go to work. Stop sinning and do better. We've all heard this. It's very easy to say. It is extremely difficult to do. As Jesus said about his apostles in Matthew 26 and 41, he said, their spirit is willing, but their flesh is weak. That's part of the Bible, but it's not the only message, and I'm glad that it's not. Because we all try to stop sinning, and we all try to do better. We all try to strive for that perfection that the Bible tells us we need to have as Christians. But it's an impossible deal. But as we discuss in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 this morning, we see a way that we can do it. You know, sin entices and sin excites. And we can't overcome sin without help. You know, the Israelites were not able to do what God told them. They sinned, every one of them. And we've got the exact same problem today. We cannot live and not sin. It's part of the human, and not but one person in the entire world has ever lived a life without sin. So that is what is so important as we discuss these three verses this morning, where the writer says, don't let anything cause you to fail. Don't let anything take away your rest. And now there is something that can help you. Our lesson this morning is to help us have hope by finding grace through our supreme high priest. Let's have our prayer. As we begin with the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of Hebrews, the words are, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Well, what does hold fast your confession mean? That means to hold fast your faith. That means don't give up. That means don't quit. That means finish the race that you have started. And Jesus has paid the debt to earn the title of our great high priest, this distinction to help us to continue to run this race. We need to see that we have a great high priest. Back in Hebrews 2 and 7, it speaks that the Son became in every respect so that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest. And we have that great high priest. And that great high priest is Jesus. A high priest was one that stood between the people and God. He was the one that administered the incense and administered the sacrifices. He was the one that stood between God and stood between man. The high priest had a very important job. He was a mediator according to the Aaronic priesthood of Aaron. But the great high priest that we have now that the Bible is speaking about in the 14th verse is Jesus. And he is a far, far superior high priest as to the ones that were of the high priest of Aaron. Far superior in every way. The high priest of the Mosaical time would go into the holy place and they would make their sacrifices for the people. And then once a year they would go into the most holy place in the presence of God and they would make sacrifices of atonement to push the sins of the people farther. We have a high priest though in Jesus that is so, so far superior, immeasurably superior, because we have a high priest that not only went into this physical earthly temple, but is being in the actual presence of God Almighty. Not only a physical temple, but the very presence of God. And he has become our mediator, standing between us and God. He has also become a propitiation of our sins between us and God. We have a great high priest that is so far superior to any of these old priests of the Mosaic era. But we have a priest, a high priest that has been in the very presence of God and now stands in the very presence of God as a continual mediator between us and man. The point is, you don't have to give up your endurance and to give up your hope of eternal salvation because you've got a great high priest that is there to help you. We can have the endurance. We can have the faith. We can have the hope that would allow us to continue to not quit and to be able to run this race until it's finished. Because you've got a high priest, Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens and now does his work for us as our mediator in the very presence of God. Now that is a wonderful statement. That tells you that until this happened, we did not have that mediator with God. The old people in the Old Testament didn't have it. All they had was earthly men. They were sinful and fleshly. But we have a perfect individual that not only goes into the temple and on earth, but is actually being in the presence of God and stays in the presence of God as our great high priest. Verse 15 goes on and it begins to tell us what our high priest does. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The question is, what can Jesus do as our great high priest? What can he do and what does he do for us? Well, verse 15 is answering what verse 14 is asked. In verse 14, they're told to hold fast to the confession because we have this great high priest Jesus. And now verse 15 explains why we should and can hold fast to that truth. We have a high priest, the Hebrew writer tells us, that is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Now this is extremely important. And I believe if we talk about this a little more, we'll understand just how important it is to have someone that stands between us and God, that knows our weaknesses and is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a sympathetic high priest. And the sympathy he offers is real. You know, we've all said, well, I know what you're going through. I feel your pain. But Jesus does know what we're going through, because he has shared in the same experiences of life that we experience. He not only identifies with us on an emotional level, he physically identifies with us and the lives that we live. And he does not sympathize with us with afar, but he sympathizes with us in the very presence of God Almighty. Because Jesus was a human being. He was made as a human being, that he could live as a human being, that he could live amongst us, he could be with us. He would know exactly what we go through. He would understand the temptations and the trials. He would know what sin was about. He would understand the enticement and the intrigue of sin. He would realize what the devil is doing to humanity. He is sympathetic to us because as a human, he went through the exact same things that we went through. Jesus was tested, and Jesus was tempted. But there's one thing that Jesus was able to do that the rest of us can't do it. He experienced every one of these temptations and these trials, and he never sinned. He never gave into it. He was never taken over by this sin. He never committed a sin because he was able to stand up and to avoid this sin. And you know, the challenge for Jesus was far harder for him than it was for us, because we give in to it. When we're enticed, when we're tempted, we give in to it. But Jesus was able not to give in to it. He was able to withstand it. We have not faithfully endured as God had called us to do, but Jesus knows exactly what we go through on a day-to-day basis. He knows our struggles. He knows how hard it is not to cave in, because he was faced and tempted with the same thing, and he did not. He never let sin get into him. He never folded under trials. He never quit during the suffering and the pain. The divinity, the spiritual part of Jesus, did not prevent him from experiencing the feelings that we have as humanity through our emotions, the tests we face, the temptations we see, the pain that we endure. Jesus endured every one of them that we endure, but he was able to overcome them. And we weren't able to do that because as human beings, we simply don't have the strength. I want to turn you to a verse in Mark 14 and 13, though, where I think the Savior had his back right against the wall. I think probably this was probably one of the most serious times that Jesus had. He didn't fold, but I think that he had taken just about all he could take. In Mark 14 and 13, Jesus begins and he said, I am greatly distressed and troubled. And in the next sentence he says, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. This was just a couple of hours before the crucifixion, when they were in the garden with his disciples and they were sleeping. And Jesus knew what was coming. He knew the pain and the humiliation he was about to endure. And the human part of him did not want to go through with this. He even asked the Lord, if there's any way to get out of this, remove this from me. But he knew that there was no other way. I think Jesus was right up to his limit as to what he could take at this point. Very distressed and grieved to death. But he never wavered. And he never failed. And he never gave in to sin. And he went and did exactly what he knew that he had to do. And if he had sinned, then it would have been useless to us. Because our Savior, our great high priest, had to be a sinless individual. And Jesus was able to do it. His sinless life is what we need. We need a faithful high priest. We need a great high priest. And that is exactly what we have in Jesus Christ. He endured until the end. He never sinned. He never gave in. And because of his sinless life, he was able to justify us in the eyes of God. He was able to fulfill this impossible law that God gave to the children of Moses that no one could live under. No one could follow it. No one could stand up to it except Jesus. And because he was able to, he has become our high priest. You know, we sometimes get confused on things. We think that maybe you got to go through the same thing we do before you can understand it. You know, you say, well, a surgeon's got to have the disease we've got before he'll know how to fix it. Or, you know, maybe that surgeon needs to have cancer before he starts trying to take the cancer out of me. And that's not true. Jesus understood what was going on, and he understood sin, and he understood temptation. And just because he was sinless and he did not succumb to it as we do, he understood the human. He understood the experience of life. And he's exactly the surgeon we need to remove sin from my life as our great high priest. He understands our condition, and he has the desire and the ability to help us in the way that we need. In verse 16, this begins to conclude itself. It said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've got a high priest that understands us. We've got a high priest that loves us. We've got a high priest that cares for us. We've got a high priest that sympathizes with us. And we have a high priest that's in the presence of God that is a mediator for us, helping us and explaining to us and arguing our point for us. We've got a high priest that understands us because he's been through every trial and every temptation and every lust that we have. But he didn't fall for it. And he did this. Verse 16 says, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. It allows us to approach God with a confidence that we didn't have before. And you know, really, when you think about this, this ought to be something. This ought to be one of those big red letter things that sticks out. We can approach the throne of God with confidence, not with timidity, not with fear, not with apprehension, but we can approach the throne of God with confidence. And that is a huge, huge statement. No one, friends, has ever approached the throne of a king without being timid and apprehensive and fearful and worried. You know, back in the old days, you didn't mess with a king. They were the authority and they had complete, absolute control over you. And no one approached the throne of a king without being very, very fearful about what they were doing. You know, we live in a republic here, and we're not a monarchy, but we've got a president that lives in the White House. And you better not approach that White House with confidence. As people have tried to ram their vehicles through the fence, and people have tried to scale the fence, and people have tried to run into the White House, and they find that those snipers will put holes in them where they don't need those holes. You do not approach even the White House in such a way because you're not going to get in. They're going to keep you out. Esther was a queen in the Persian Empire. She was the queen and married to the king, a man by the name of Ahasuerus. And if you remember the story of her uncle Mordecai, another man by the name of Haman, I believe was his name, had decreed a way to destroy all the Jews in the country. And Mordecai came to Esther, and he said, Esther, you have got to go into the king, and you have got to explain, and you've got to protect our people, or this man's going to destroy each and every one of them. And Esther, being the queen, the wife of the king, very, very apprehensive. She said, you don't go into a king's chamber without being invited. Said, it could cost me my life. Even as his wife, it could cost me my life. And Mordecai said, you've got to do it for the people. And so the Bible tells us in the book of Esther, she went boldly into the king and told him the situation, King Ahasuerus, and he was able to understand her. He did not punish her. He accepted her, and he was able then to turn the tables on Haman and was able to save the Jews of that time. Ancient rulers were not approachable. Now let me ask you another question. Was God approachable under the Mosaic law? Did the tabernacle system allow people to approach the God of creation? No. Absolutely not. God was totally and completely unapproachable. No one approached God. No one went into the temple of God. No one had anything to do. And the Levites were told to kill anybody that tried to get in there. And even on that one day a year when the priest went into the most holy, he had better have cleaned himself and sacrificed and prepared himself, or he wasn't going to get out of there either. No one approached God Almighty under the old law. But now, we have a great high priest. And because we have a great high priest, we are now able to approach the throne of God with confidence. We can approach the throne of God with safety. We can approach the God without fear. We can have confidence that we can anticipate receiving divine favor when we go into the presence of God. And it was only the sacrifice of Jesus that justified us that allowed this to happen. He allowed this to become a throne of grace instead of a throne of fear. The throne of God, we do not have to approach with fear and trembling or timidity. We can pray directly to God anytime we want. We just have to do it through Jesus Christ. The reason is not because of who we are or what we've done or how great we are or how well we've lived or the many wonderful things that we have done, because we're all sinful and filth in the eyes of God. He can tolerate zero sin. But we have a great high priest that is sinless. We have a great high priest that is perfect. We have a great high priest that can enter into the kingdom of God. He lives with God. He is in the throne room of God. And we, as sinful people, now have the authority and the ability to confidently go into the throne room of God, not on our own, but through our high priest, Jesus Christ. He has made it approachable for man to go to God. What's going to happen when we approach the throne of God? Well, verse 16 says that we may receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Jesus has made it possible to go into the presence of God and receive not judgment, but mercy. We receive not condemnation, but grace. When we have need, we will receive help. We are able to find favor in God. We are able to find acceptance with God because God is now approachable to us through Jesus Christ, and we can expect to find mercy and grace in our time of need. Let's try and conclude this and wrap it all up. Go right back to where we began at the very beginning of our lesson. And we said that the writer in Hebrew was writing to these new Christians that had just accepted this Christianity. They were in a very, very small minority. They were persecuted. They had problems with every way. And they're giving up. They're saying it is not worth it. It's just too hard on us. There's too many trials. There's too many temptations. And the warning that Paul gave as the writer of the Hebrews said, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't let your unbelief do to you what it did to your forefathers that came out of Egypt. Don't stop. You know, Paul taught us that if we're going to be successful, if we're going to win, that we've got to race until the very end of life. And I'm going to tell you something about that race to the end of life. The race that we run to receive the gift. The old devil is running right beside us every step of the way. And he's doing everything he can on a daily basis to cause us to sin. He's tempting us. He's trying us. He's doing everything he can that make us stop because of unbelief. To make us quit. To stop us from getting this eternal rest that we have been promised. And I'm going to tell you something, kids. I'm 71 years old, and those temptations never stop just because you get old. You're tempted when you're 15, and you're tempted when you're 110, if the Lord allows you to live that long. Temptations never end. And the devil's going to be right beside you, tempting you and trying to make you fall. The Bible says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible said, don't quit. And that is the exact same message that we're told today. Don't quit. Don't stop. Continue to run. Don't let unbelief take away your home. You've got a God that understands what you're going through. Furthermore, you're approaching a throne of grace. You're able to confidently go into God. You're able to find mercy and favor because Jesus is your priest. He sacrificed for you, and he's there to help you. He wants to help you, and he can help you, and he will help you. It's not through anything we do. It's not through our works because we're too imperfect. It's through Jesus that we have an opportunity. Your sinning and the failures that you have does not mean that you're completely destroyed and have no hope. You don't need to give up because there's still grace and mercy and you still have Jesus working on your side. You know, people wreck their lives, but that doesn't mean it's over because you can repent and you can do what the Bible has told you to do and you can accept that help and the support of Jesus. Many lived a life against the Lord. You know, the Apostle Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul is a perfect example. He did everything in the world he could to stamp out Christianity. He lived against Christ. But when he learned what was right, he repented, he converted, he became a very strong. You can be crushed by your trials. You can run from God. But you don't have to. Because the Bible says you can confidently come near to God. Where there is grace and mercy. And if we will obey the teachings of Jesus Christ, he said, believe upon me. Believe upon me as the Son of God. Believe on me and repent of your past sins. Confess my name before men, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believing in the deity, and be baptized into the body of Christ, into the church of Christ, into the kingdom of Christ. Then when we have problems and when we repent, we've got that great high priest is sitting right there beside God that is able to take our point and to be the propitiation for our sin. Not because of us, but because of our superior high priest, Jesus Christ, grace and mercy and help are available when we obey the gospel plan of salvation, because he's going to help us to have hope. That concludes the message this morning. We will now offer a song of invitation. We can help you in any way. Come forward as we sing.